This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. Time to chat some nutrition and someone who's had to work particularly hard at dialing in her Ironman nutrition. She'll be the first to admit she hasn't got it fully dialed in just yet, but she has made massive strides. I'm talking about Diana Simpson in Auckland, New Zealand, because that's where we're going today to talk a little bit about her Ironman nutrition. And if you're looking for some books, perhaps, on dialing in your endurance nutrition, I would suggest checking out our free trial of audible.com. We'll throw in the first book absolutely free as well. All you need to do to take me up on that offer is head over to thekonaedge.com/book. That's thekonaedge.com/book. First book on me. It's absolutely free to try out. No obligation. And if you dig it, and I love it, audiobooks for the win, particularly on the indoor trainer. Sign up and you'll help us keep the lights on. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/book. Today's Coach's Corner brought to you by Superfly Coaching. They've helped dozens of athletes reach Ironman Kona, the 70.3 World Championships, and even the Olympic Games. Their coaches, along with Joe Friel, have written several books on training methodologies. Their experienced coaches are uniquely qualified to recognize your skills while addressing your weaknesses. Their coaches have already helped athletes just like you reach their goals, so let them help you. Whether you're attempting to release pounds or shave off a few seconds, they're with you every step of the way. Are you interested in upping your game from acceptable to exceptional? By partnering with your passion and their experienced coaches, you can reach your full potential. Their coaching plans are like their clients, no two are alike. Once you've chosen your service level that works best for you, your coach will begin to develop your customized plan. Don't let stomach issues ruin your race. From coaching to nutritional advice, they cover it all. To discover more about Superfly Coaching, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. And don't forget, if you're a coach or have a coaching business and would like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. Let's chat some nutrition here on the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. We head back to Auckland, New Zealand to catch up with Diana Simpson. Diana, welcome back onto the podcast. Nutrition is one of the things that you've worked and had to work really hard on in your Ironman career. I mean, you said one of the big lessons you've learned is learning to eat like an Ironman, not just racing, but every day as well. It's been a real struggle for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I think the last couple of years I've started getting it right, but you know, every now and then I'll slip up and pay for it the next day and the day after. So you know, they talk about nutrition being the fourth discipline, and in some respects I believe it's the most important. It is crucial to get that right in order for you to be able to complete everything that you need to do for the week. I have struggled, it's been through research and I guess from my friends and family and input from my coach that, you know, and there's been some inner words to myself where I've sort of just had to say, just, it might not feel like eating right now, but just get something into you, you know. it's been a journey in that respect.
You also mentioned that in the last 12 months you sort of figured out, not that you figured it out totally, but you're still learning. But you've dealt with the fact that nutrition really affects your moods, and when you are getting it right, you're a better person to be around. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, look. Probably prior to that, I was. I probably still am a sugar fiend. I've got a very sweet tooth, sugar cravings to me would happen throughout the whole entire day. And I'd come home, after work, and I'd get stuck into the ice cream, or if there was chocolate in the fridge, I'd get stuck into that. To training sessions, I would get a bag of lollies and chuck them back. And you know, as soon as you have that, you're not craving any further. And so, I'd come home from a training session after gorging on Coke and lollies and ice cream and stuff, and she not eat any real food. And then I would have this massive sugar low, where I'll throw myself into bed and wake up for a few hours, and then wake up absolutely moody and an absolute horror to be around. That was not a good place to be in, you know, especially when you knew you had to get up the next morning and more training. And, you know, you'd end up in this sort of circle of, you'd end up in a place where you just didn't want to be, and people around you didn't want to be around you. And that's definitely what my husband would say to me as well. So we knew something had to be done about it, and we sort of didn't pinpoint it was the sugar until sort of quite a way down the track. And I think it was through some readings that, you know, I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll have some instead of, you know, a bag full of lollies and get that into me. And then we sort of discovered that protein was quite good to have straight after a hard session. And then we realized that the sugar cravings started disappearing. So, it takes a while for things to sink in with me. And that was definitely one of them.
It sounds like you've made some big changes, not just racing-wise, but day-to-day. What does a normal sort of day look like from a nutrition point of view for you now?
Yeah, so I get up. I've got a session first thing in the morning. I'll have a coffee and a bit of toast with a whole lot of peanut butter on it. And then I'll go do that session. Then I'll come back and I'll have breakfast, which is usually a big bowl of cereal with and more coffee and a protein shake, if I can throw that in as well. In the wintertime, I usually go for forage, so that's, you know, that's really good to fill me up. And my husband is he's very good to, the last few years he's been making me my lunch every day, I get to go to work and a brown paper bag that's got peanut butter and jam sandwiches in it and some muesli bars and some pieces of fruit. People are pretty jealous about that. Usually it's the other way around, but you know, it's a brand new world, I guess. So I'm very, very lucky for him to do that. Does it, because he knows that he knows what he'll be dealing with if I don't get this food into me, to be honest. Then I'll come home and then I'll do another training session. If it's some interval efforts, I will have a protein shake afterwards and maybe some crumbled toast, and then that will last me through to dinner. And dinner we have around about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, and it's usually meat based, like meatballs or spag bol, or I don't know, there'll be fish in there, lots of carbs and protein and lots of veggies as well. So we've sort of done this big turn, actually eating properly and eating not when we feel like it, but you know, when we have to, just to keep that body fueled and machine moving, I guess.
And don't forget the glass of red wine. That, as you mentioned, is very important.
Yes, that is very important. Yes, that usually happens when I'm making dinner. And it's one of those things where, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but it does take the edge off. You know, it's a great relaxer, and it just sort of makes things full circle for me. So I do enjoy a glass of red, that's for sure.
I'm glad you said it's definitely. while you're making dinner, and it's not before your swim set in the mornings, because then we would have a serious issue to be dealing with. So timing of that red glass of red wine is pretty important in your triathlon training. Dana, talk to me about your race.
Very much so.
talk to me about your race day nutrition. What how do you approach an Ironman from a nutrition point of view?
Yeah, so look, race morning, I tend to have the same as I do during my weekday brekkies, which is the bowl of cereal, coffee, and if I can stomach it, a banana at some point. That will be it, and then the race will start. Usually get killed in the swim, and then drag myself out of there, and then onto the bike. And so, as soon as I can on the bike, I'll throw back a gel, but that's usually the only gel I have during the bike. I've sort of said to myself that I'm to eat solid food on the bike and to get as much solid food into me as possible. So it's the chews, it's the bars, bananas if I grab one at the aid stations. And the last year or so, I tend to try and get all my carbs out of the food rather than the drinks. So I try and save the electrolytes. That's not always the case. Sometimes I just have to grab a carb drink. But I know that on the it's really important to just shove that food down, and the more I can get into me, the more I know I'll be set up for my run. The stomach starts shrinking throughout the race, and so it gets harder and harder to get that food into you. So, if I'm out there, I have my watch go every 15 minutes to tell me to eat something, and sometimes it takes me three or 4 minutes before I can actually tell myself to actually get to that bento box and throw some more stuff into my goal. But it's one of those things that you just have to tell yourself, and don't do it, then you're going to end up in some serious trouble on the run. And so then on the run, if I've done all that I need to do on the bike, I get into the gels, and get two or three down before I go, I'll bugger this, I'm going straight for the Coke. And that's my treat to myself, is getting that Coca-Cola down there. I've never sort of really gone for anything else at the aid stations. There was a race, Kona, 1 year where I'd lost all my salt tablets, and so I thought I'd in the energy lab, I thought I'd grab a handful of pretzels, get them into my mouth, and I started choking and suffocating because my nose was blocked up, snot, and I couldn't breathe through my mouth. So I'm just spitting them all out and sticking to Coke. So trying new things on race itself probably isn't a great thing to do. Yeah, so that's what I tend to do.
Brilliant. Well, Dan, it's been great catching up once again. Thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Edge. Best of luck in the build-up to next Kona, and we look forward to seeing how you go.
Thanks very much, Fred. Cheers.
And that's it for yet another edition of the Kona Edge. Thank you so much for listening. And if I could ask you, if you haven't left us a review or a rating on iTunes yet, please do. It helps us massively grow the show, and we've been getting quite a few in lately. If you put one down, I'll give you a shout out on the show. So it takes you a couple of minutes and helps us grow. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would appreciate it massively. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.